Translation, Gauridas Pandit, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service and love of Godhead, had the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. So, let's read the purport. There's some interesting details in the purport. Sometimes when we read these strings of descriptions of different personalities, we think, well, what's the point of reading all these list of names? But I remember Malati Prabhu gave a class recently in which she was explaining that just reciting these names have auspicious effects because they're all great, pure Vaishnavas. So just by saying their names, repeating their names, one actually makes spiritual advancement. So here it goes. Purport. It is said that Gauridas Pandit was always patronized by King Krishnadas, the son of Harihoda. Gauridas Pandit lived in the village of Shaligram, which is situated a few miles from the railway station Mudaghacha, and later he came to reside in Ambika Kalana. It is stated in the Gaura Gonadish Deepika, verse 128, that formerly he was Subal, one of the coward boyfriends of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. Gauridas Pandit was the younger brother of Suryadas Sarakela, and with the permission of his older brother, he shifted his residence to the bank of the Ganges, living there in the town known as Ambika Kalana. Some of the names of the descendants of Gauridas Pandit are as follows. Sri Nishringha Chaitanya, Krishnadas, Vishnudas, Bada Balaram Das, Govinda, Raghunath, Badu Gangadas, Auliya Gangaram, Yadavacharya, Hriday Chaitanya, Chanda Haladhara, Mahesh Pandit, Mukuta Roy, Bhatuya Gangaram, Auliya Chaitanya, Kaliya Krishnadas, Patuya Gopal, Bada Jagannath, Nityananda, Bhavi, Jagadish, Raya Krishnadas, and it says 22 and a half, Annapurna. Not sure. I guess they were together, Raya Krishnadas and Annapurna. The eldest son of Gauridas Pandit was known as Big Balaram. And the youngest was known as Raghunath. The sons of Raghunath were Mahesh Pandit and Govinda. Gauridas Pandit's daughter was known as Annapurna. The village, Ambika Kalana, which is situated just across the river Ganges from Shantipur, is 2 miles east of the Kalana Korta railway station on the Eastern Railway. So as you know, that Shantipur was the ancestral home of Advaitacharya. And many wonderful pastimes happened there as well. In Ambika Kalana, there is a temple constructed by the Zamindar of Burdwan. In front of the temple, there is a big tamarind tree. And it is said that Gauridas Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met underneath this tree. The place where the temple is situated is known as Ambika, and because it is in the area of Kalana, the village is known as Ambika Kalana. It is said that a copy of Bhagavad Gita written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still exists in this temple. So some of you, I assume, have been on these parikrams, which I was never fortunate enough to go on, and so you probably know some of the stories that I may be telling shortly, but maybe not also. So anyway, it never hurts to hear these things repeatedly. And now we'll just go on to the next verse, since I'm supposed to cover three of them. Text 27, Nityanande Samarpila Jati Kula Panti Sri Chaitanya Nityanande Kari Pranapati. Making Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the lords of his life, Gauridas Pandit sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda, even the fellowship of his own family. And text 28, Nityananda Prabhura Priya Pandita Purandar Premarnava Madhye Vire Yaichana Mandar. The 13th important devotee of Sri Nityananda Prabhu was Pandit Purandara, who moved in the ocean of love of Godhead just like the Mandara Hill. Purport. Pandit Purandara met Sri Nityananda Prabhu at Kadadaha. When Nityananda Prabhu visited this village, he danced very uncommonly. It's interesting the way Prabhupada sometimes describes things. He danced uncommonly. Means that he danced in an extraordinary way. But this is sort of almost like understated. He danced uncommonly. It's very polite. It's almost like it's a little bit English, actually, isn't it? Understatement. I mean, if we were to see Lord Nityananda dance, we wouldn't think it was just that it was uncommon. We would have much, more powerful sounding adjectives, perhaps. Otherwise, we'd just be speechless. But it says he danced very uncommonly, and his dancing captivated Purandara Pandit. The Pandit was in the top of a tree. So, you don't usually think of Pandits, sitting around in the tops of trees. But these are not ordinary personalities. I think the thing is, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have to become aware that these are all they're superhuman personalities. I mean, they're also, regular people in one sense. They had human forms anyway. But their activities are always extraordinary. So here's a pandit, a great scholar, is sitting on the top of a tree and watching Lord Nityananda dance in this ecstatic way. And then it says, upon seeing the dancing in Nityananda, he jumped down on the ground, proclaiming himself to be Angada, one of the devotees in the camp of Hanuman during the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Angada was one of the most powerful of the monkey warriors that assisted Lord Rama in his pastimes. And he was quite a powerful being, fighter, full of ecstasy and servitude, sentiment of servitude. So these are some of the personalities mentioned here. Going back to the 26th verse, first, it talks that he describes Gauridas Pandit, because you don't find many other descriptions of Gauridas Pandit in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But here it describes him as the emblem of the most elevated devotional service in love of Godhead. So later I'll be reading some descriptions. But this good devotee, Gauridas Pandit, became, after meeting Lord Chaitanya, describes here that he met him under a tamarind tree, and he also received a copy of the Bhagavad Gita that was personally written, it says here, by Lord Chaitanya himself. He became so attached to Lord Chaitanya that he couldn't bear his separation. And he used to serve the deities of Gaur Nithai that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda themselves actually arranged for him, day and night. And it says here that he sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda. This is, of course, this section of the Adi Lila is about those devotees who are especially attached to Lord Nityananda, generally in that coward boy mood. And it says here that they were the lords of his life. It describes them as the lords of his life. And also it says that he sacrificed everything for his service, even the fellowship of his own family. So that means that even sometimes his family responsibilities and duties were neglected. Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Padaya, so maybe we could take a moment to sympathize with his family. I know that sounds strange, but if you think about it, that the fellowship of his family, it says, was neglected. which means that he was so absorbed in his service to the deities of Gaur Nittai. He's described as constantly cooking very elaborate, super elaborate offerings. And he was praying constantly that the Lord, he wanted the Lords to be decorated with beautiful jewels and so forth. And, of course, he didn't have any money. But then the Lord, seeing his sincere desire, he would actually manifest those jewels. And then he would question the Lord, "Where did you get these jewels?" Like that. They had a very familiar relationship. So, but I was just thinking, you know, his family must have sometimes felt a little left out of things, or at least a little bit neglected. He was so absorbed in his service that you give the feeling that he didn't really pay that much attention to them. Because he was just so absorbed in his service to the deity. So I'm going to read a few things that I found in my researches. This is first bit is from the Gitavali by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he describes a typical exchange which took place in his home. It says, "Sri Chaitanya Nityananda, Sri Vasadi Bhakta Vrinda, Goridasa Panditir Gori, Luchi Chini Kir Sar Mitai Payas Ar, Pita Pana Ashvadhan Kori." O brothers, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their devotees headed by Srivas Thakur relished different varieties of prasad at the home of Goridas Pandit. They take puris made with white flour and sugar, kheer, solid cream, sweets, sweet rice, and a kind of cake and condensed milk preparation. It seemed like it was heavy on the sweet side. Then Mahaprabhu Bhaktagani Parama Anandi Mane Agyadhilo Kurite Bhojan Krishnera Prasadhana Bhojane Oyadhanya Krishna Bholi Dhake Sarvajan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy, gave the order to all of his devotees to eat, becoming very fortunate by taking the prasad of Lord Krishna. Everyone chants aloud, "Krishna, Krishna." Now, yeah, that's good. See, "Krishna, Krishna." As they try to enter into the mood here. Now, this is an ecstatic devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And so we can try to understand it. Probably won't be able to, but still try to enter into this mood. Here are some descriptions from various, from Bhakti Ratnakar and various other scriptures about Goridas Pandit. So, it describes that his temple is located in this place, Ambika Kalana. And and it says that that old copy of Bhagavad Gita is still on palm leaves. Now, the story is that it was actually personally written by Lord Chaitanya himself on palm leaves. But there's also something else, which is a little unusual. That's an oar from a boat. And the explanation is that one day, it says, the two lords, Chaitanya and Nityananda, came to Kalna from Shantipur by boat, paddling it themselves. Lord Chaitanya kept the oar in his hand. And when he entered Goridas's house, he gave it to him, saying, "With this, you should cross over the ocean of material existence, taking all the living entities with you." So that's a fairly esoteric instruction. Someone, you hand somebody the oar of a boat and tell them to cross the ocean of material existence. But of course, because it came from the hand of Lord Chaitanya, it was taken both symbolically and literally. So Goridas Pandit also had an older brother named Suryadas Sarakali, and he had two daughters, Shivasudha and Janavadevi. So, you know, they are the two wives, later became the two wives of Lord Nityananda. They were given in marriage to Lord Nityananda. Near the conclusion of his Navadvip pastimes, when Mahaprabhu desired to accept sannyas, he came to Kalna to bid farewell to Goridas. At that time, Goridas became extremely afflicted by separation. So there's a song that was sung about this So I'm not going to try to read the Bengali because that's beyond me. But it's a lengthy song, and here's the description. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing with Nityananda, who was chanting Hari, Hari. Good, see? Arrived at the house of Goridas Pandit to bid farewell. Weeping in separation, Goridas fell at the feet of the Lord. And he said, "You must never leave my house." So, you can just imagine that the relationship must have been pretty intimate to give Lord Chaitanya a command. It wasn't a request, exactly. He said, "You must never leave my house. Please heed my words. Stay here in Ambika Kalna. This is my humble submission. If you leave me, I shall surely die. You must stay here." Now, just try to imagine having that much attachment. We generally have a lot of attachment for other things, but here we can see that he had this attachment, that he didn't want the Lord to leave, and he felt that he would die without him. He says, "And I will always stay here and view your divine form. You are two brothers. Stay here at my place, and everyone will be delivered just by seeing you. Again, I submit, don't leave, O Gauri. You are the savior of the fallen." The Lord said, "Goridas, allow me to fulfill your hope in this way. I shall give you an exact copy of Gaura Nityananda, a murti that you may worship. But by seeing this murti, you can think of us. My murti is as good as I am. Know it for certain that my words are true." So he was giving him this assurance. Now, this devotee is being personally assured by Lord Chaitanya that the murti was as good as him. But Goridas wasn't happy with this. It says, hearing this, Goridas let out a deep sigh and began sobbing and weeping. Again, the two brothers tried to console him. Still, nothing they did could steady or pacify him. Thus sings the fallen Krishnadas, who aspires for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya, of how those two brothers stayed in Ambika Kalna. In ecstasy, Goridas Pandit begged the two brothers to stay. And because Chaitanya and Nityananda are Bhaktavatsala, always affectionate to his devotees, they were captured by Goridas Pandit. So it's actually possible for an elevated devotee to capture the Lord. It's Krishna's, or Lord Chaitanya's and Lord Nityananda's kryptonite. That's their one weakness. They have this affection for sincere devotees. So if one develops a loving relationship, that Krishna can actually be captured. He has to become the servant of their desires. So it says, he imprisoned these two lords in a temple of divine love from which they could not escape. Seeing the great anxiety of Goridas Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said with great gravity, "We will stay here at your place. Know for certain that we two brothers will always stay here in your home." Consoling him with these words, those two brothers manifest themselves in the form of two perfect deity forms. The four of them stood there, Gaura Nityananda and the exact replicas of Gaura Nityananda. Goridas Pandit was stunned. Tears of divine love filled his eyes. Again the Lord told him, "Your wish is fulfilled. These two will stay here in your home forever. You will always internally realize that in this way, at your home, we shall eternally stay and beg to eat the offerings you cook." Hearing this, Goridas, the king of Pandits, began to cook. When the preparations were ready, he offered everything before his four guests. After this, he offered them garlands made of lotuses and fresh cloth, along with tambula and other fine things. Then he decorated their limbs with sandalwood pulp. After all these various things were realized, it was time for the two lords to go. The two lords left the two lords standing at the home of Goridas Pandit and left for Jagannath Puri. To the great satisfaction of Goridas Pandit, Gaura and Nityananda in their replica form stayed at his house and ate the rice he offered them. In this way, Goridas Pandit rendered service to his heart's delight and enjoyed the pastimes of Gaura and Nityananda. My only hope is to take shelter at the lotus feet of Goridas Pandit. Thus says the fallen Krishnadas. So that ends this song. So it says one day, just to increase the divine love of Goridas Pandit, the Murtis of Sri Gaura Nityananda decided to revive in Goridas Pandit the Vrindavan conception. At that time, they smiled sweetly and said, "Oh, Goridas, you were formerly Subal, don't you remember? Together we used to have many pastimes on the banks of the Jamuna and Vrindavan." While acting in this way, Sri Gaura Nityananda caused Goridas to conceive of them in the forms of Krishna and Balaram. In this way, they appeared in the dress of cowherd boys with a stick for driving cows in their hands. Krishna held the flute in his hands and a peacock feather in his hair. Their necks were decorated with garlands of forest flowers. Their lotus feet were ornamented with anklets. In this way, they brought Goridas into the mood of his previous conception. In this mood, they revealed different pastimes to Goridas Pandit for some time, and after this, it was the Lord's wish that Goridas be returned to external consciousness. At that time, Krishna and Balaram returned to the altar in their forms of Gaura and Nityananda. Every day, Goridas Pandit used to prepare various wonderful edibles for the pleasure of his deities and offer it to Gaura and Nityananda. He was always engaged in serving them. He was so absorbed in service that he was completely unaware of the pleasures and pains of his own body. So, you know, we know there's nine processes of devotional service, the nine angas or the nine limbs of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam. Now, Goridas Pandit was perfecting his existence through this Archanam process, deity worship, just as we see the deities here so beautifully cared for and decorated and dressed and fed. So also he was doing this, but all on his own, practically. Said he was so absorbed in service that he was completely unaware of the pleasures and pains of his own body. So this is a very elevated state. And especially as one grows older, everything gets harder. I have practical experience. I just turned 70 recently, so now I'm feeling some of these aches and pains. And, you know, various deficiencies. So, you know, mental, physical, practically spiritual, everything. So so he says here that he was unaware of it. You know, it says gradually he approached old age and became feeble and infirm. In this way, although it was difficult for him to do, he did not cease working hard to cook for his deities. One day, seeing his hard labor at cooking, Gaura Nityananda externally appeared very angry and refused to eat. So the Lord was trying to dissuade him from so much activity and so much endeavor. So they refused to eat. At that time, Goridas Pandit embraced them affectionately, saying, "If you don't want to eat this, if you don't want to eat what I prepared," in other words, "tell me what you would like me to cook. I'm ready to cook whatever will make you happy." Saying this, Goridas Pandit fell silent. Smiling, the Lord then said in great seriousness, "There's nothing wrong with your cooking, but there's no need at your advanced age to cook so many preparations. We can't tolerate seeing you go to such a great effort on our behalf. We would be happier if you would exert less effort and just do something simple." So, referring back to the verse that's on the board, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service and love of God, it had the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. So he was situated in love, and he was the recipient of so much love of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but he was also able to reciprocate in a very powerful way, so much so that the Lord was, you could say, putty in his hands. He was so affectionate, so affectionately inclined to Krishna. There's a description, I don't remember whether it was here or elsewhere, where it says that he used to discuss Shastra. He would read various things from the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and he would discuss it with his deities. He would, you know, as I said, he would desire that they be ornamented in various ways, and he, because he didn't have the money for it, they would manifest the ornaments themselves. So in other words, there's this tremendous reciprocation going on. I mean, on a level that's almost unimaginable. That they were so determined to serve him in response to his mood of affection and love and service. And here they're actually requesting him to, you know, it's like when Haridas Thakur was lamenting just before he disappeared. He was lamenting that his disease, they asked him what his problem was. He said his disease is that he couldn't finish his rounds. That was his disease. And then Lord Chaitanya assured him, well, look, you've already, you've been chanting 3 lakhs of rounds daily, practically your whole life. It's okay to slack off a little now. I mean, I'm putting it in my own words. He didn't say slack off. But reduce. But still, that wasn't Haridas's real issue. He wanted to leave before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And the Lord had to reciprocate with his desire because that was his strong and personal, that was the nature of his relationship, that whatever he requested. This like, who was it, Vasudev Dutta was praying for the deliverance of all souls in the universe. That's a pretty big prayer. And he was prepared to suffer for all their misdeeds for as long as was required so that they could all go back to God and enjoy the bliss of the Lord's association. And Lord Chaitanya said, why should I put you through that? I'll arrange for it, don't worry. So in other words, the inconceivable desire of this being, Vasudev Dutta, was immediately fulfilled by Lord Chaitanya. So that's the nature of this loving relationship between these great Vaishnavas and the Lord. And so he says, so they've just said, we'd be happier if you would exert less effort and just do something simple. So he responds, well, you just eat what I have cooked today. In the future, I won't take such great steps. Everything will be kept simple. I will only cook a little shak and offer it on a fresh banana leaf. Hearing the words of the pandit, the brothers, Gauranityananda, smiled and laughed and ate everything on their plates. Once Gauridas Pandit wanted to decorate Gauranitai lavishly with beautiful ornaments. Knowing his mind, Gauranityananda decorated themselves with ornaments and then got back up on their throne on the altar. When the pandit entered the temple, he was speechless with delight. He thought, where did they get these ornaments? In this way, Gauranityananda were involved in many different kinds of pastimes in the home of Gauridas Pandit. His dearmost disciple was Sri Hridaya Chaitanya. Does anybody know who Hridaya Chaitanya was the guru of? Huh? Shamananda, yeah. Who said that? Oh, that's very good. So, once around the time of the appearance day of Sri Gauranga, Gauridas went to the house of one of his disciples. At that time, he entrusted the service of Sri Gaura Nityananda in the care of Hridaya Chaitanya. I think Hridaya Chaitanya at this point was just known as Chaitanya Das. And there's a reason for it. In great ecstasy, he rendered that service to those deities. The festival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day drew near. When only 3 days remained before the big festival that was to take place, Gauridas Pandit had still not returned. Chaitanya Das became very worried. Acting on his own, he arranged to send a written message to the different devotees and disciples, inviting them to the festival that would soon be held. Just at that time, Gauridas Pandit arrived at his ashram. Chaitanya Das told his guru about how he had sent out invitations of his own, worried that Gauridas Pandit would not return in time to do so. Although Gauridas Pandit was internally very happy, externally he showed himself to be very angry with Chaitanya Das's acting independently. So this is another interesting aspect of devotional service, that sometimes in the dealings with guru and disciple, for some internal purpose, the guru may express anger when he's actually internally pleased by something. And it's a mystery always to the disciple. And we've often seen that Prabhupada would sometimes chastise someone and within a short time be joking with them. So one has to accept whatever dealing is offered by the spiritual master. And understand that it's for our personal welfare. So that's the mood of these great devotees. So he scolded him. Now see, that's a mild word. If you've ever been chastised by a great personality, it doesn't feel like scolding. I have this friend, a very eccentric devotee in the movement called Vishal, and this is a little off the topic, but it's just sort of an illustration. So I don't remember which country they were trying to go into, but anyway, Shamsundar, Prabhupada's servant, had lost this yellow card that details all the different injections and stuff that you have to go to different countries. And he'd somehow misplaced it or forgot to bring it or lost it. Something had happened. And he was desperately trying to convince these officials to let Prabhupada into the country. And there was a whole hullabaloo going on. And Vishal was traveling with Prabhupada's party at that time. So he sat down next to Prabhupada. And he imitated the way he spoke to Prabhupada. He said he spoke in a pathetic way. He said, "Prabhupada, is there anything I can do?" So, so Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Do? What can you do?" He said, "You speak nonsense." So Vishal said that he felt as though 10,000 volts of electricity just went through him. It didn't feel like scolding. It felt like death or something. So he wandered off, and for days afterwards, he wouldn't go near Prabhupada because he was scared. So one day, Prabhupada sent for him and was laughing and said, "Where have you been?" And Vishal said, "I thought you were angry with me." And Prabhupada just laughed some more. So who can understand these things? Anyway, so this is Goridas' scolding. He said, "In my presence, you are acting independently, sending invitations here and there as you please, and summoning my disciples at your will. This cannot go on. You cannot stay here." Hearing this, Chaitanya Das fell at the feet of his guru and offered his pranams. He went to stay under a tree on the banks of the Ganges. A short time later, a rich merchant came by on a boat and gave a large donation to Chaitanya Das, saying, "Give this to your guru, Goridas Pandit." After this, he went to Goridas and gave him the donation. Chaitanya Das was told by his guru to hold a big festival on the banks of the Ganges. Taking the order of his guru on his head, he began a big festival on the banks of the Ganges. Gradually, all the Vaishnavas in the surrounding areas began to assemble there. Taking those great souls with him, Chaitanya Das began a wonderful and super excellent performance of dancing and chanting the holy name. In the midst of this kirtan, Gaura Nityananda themselves appeared, singing and dancing. Chaitanya Das saw it with his own eyes. In this way, Goridas Pandit arranged for a great festival to be held. When the pujari back at the temple, Big Ganga Das Pandit, now this is one of the sons of Goridas Pandit, and he was some reason he was called Big Ganga Das, entered the temple and saw that Gaura Nityananda and Nityananda were not on the Singhasana, the deity throne on the altar. He went immediately to Goridas Pandit to report this incident. The pujari could understand that to increase the prema of Chaitanya Das, Gaura Nityananda had gone off and joined the kirtan. Seeing the amazement of the pujari, Goridas Pandit smiled sweetly. But it's kind of one of these smiles like a little dangerous. You know, sometimes when people smile, you know you're in danger. It was one of those smiles like... Then, to stop the two brothers from getting away, he took a club in his hand and went off to the banks of the Ganges to the place where Gaura Nityananda had joined in the great kirtan that was going on there. He was going to threaten Gaura Nityananda. He soon arrived at the bank because they promised not to leave, if you remember. And here he felt that it was some sort of transcendental betrayal. He could see the two brothers dancing in ecstasy. But when the two brothers, Gaura Nityananda, saw the angry mood of Goridas Pandit, they became invisible. these are amazing stories and amazing dealings. Sri Goridas Pandit could see that Gaura and Nityananda had entered into the temple of Hriday Chaitanya's, now Hriday Chaitanya's heart. Beholding this in great wonder and ecstasy, Gauridas Pandit could not hold himself back. He began crying tears of ecstasy. He forgot his external show of anger at the two brothers, and holding his disciple in his arms, he said, "You are truly fortunate. From today on, your name will be Hriday Chaitanya, one who has Sri Chaitanya within his heart." He drenched Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu with his tears. In great humility and overwhelmed, Sri Hriday Chaitanya fell at the feet of Sri Gauridas Pandit. After this, Gauridas took Hriday Chaitanya back to his house where they danced and chanted in the courtyard in the ecstasy of Sankirtan. So, you know, I mean, this sort of dealing, you know, I mean, of course, we're all interested in deity worship. Maybe after hearing this, we should become more interested in it. I know that I fall really short in that department of bhakti, but, I mean, just imagine the kind of experiences of these devotees where the deities would actually take part in Sankirtan with them and then go back on the altar again. It's amazing. In this way, the great festival, the appearance day of Sri Gauranga, came to a close. After this, Gauridas Pandit blessed Hriday Chaitanya with the qualification for this divine service of the Lord. So on the Shukla Ekadasi in the month of Shravan, Sri Gauridas Pandit passed away from the earth and entered into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So as you know, he was actually, we mentioned earlier, that he was Subal. And so he entered those eternal pastimes. So that's all I have for you. So this hopefully will be an inspiration for this important limb of bhakti, of archana, of worship of the deity form of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya gave personal assurance, and not just Lord Chaitanya gives this assurance, but it's throughout the Shastra, we know in Padma Purana and so many places, the Bhagavatam, how the deity form of the Lord is none different than the Lord. But as far as realization of this, we may be lacking. So, but it's still such an important aspect of devotional service, especially for householders. This is a way to develop an attitude of service, of affectionate service to the Lord through this archana process. So I'll stop there. Questions?